Well, let's clap our hands and bless his name. What a good God. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom. Something's going on here that's been going on for 2,000 years. People praising God and the beauty of holiness and people getting baptized in Jesus' name.
Thank you, sir.
Folks getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues just like they did in the Bible. Praise God. I was reading today about some Anabaptists back in the 1500s that got baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost. A bunch of them got the Holy Ghost, and they started killing them right and left. And they just kept on baptizing and kept on getting the Holy Ghost. I'm glad we don't live in a place where they kill you for getting baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Something's happening back there. Well, Sunday morning, the lady got the Holy Ghost right down here. Sunday night, we had a firestorm break out. Five got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. And this brother and sister were trying their best to get here Sunday and could not find us. So they've made their way tonight, and God didn't tell them, well, the appointed time has passed, but he said, this is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time of the Lord. Praise God. I can understand that. He's going to wait on his wife. They're going to get baptized together here. That's a family thing. I like that. We're going to go ahead and read our text for tonight. Redeem the time, if you're okay with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hey, Dustin, how can we follow Amber? Do you ever blog up? Here we go. AmberCorey.blogspot.com. You can follow the adventures of Amber in Guatemala. And Matt is daily recording and posting on YouTube. Somebody know right off the top of your head? Is it? What is it? Matthew 9:8-21. Yeah, but that'll get them there, right? You go on YouTube and just plug in Matthew 9:8. And the numbers are 9821. Okay. See, if you're interested in that, but I think it's pretty interesting to follow New Life Kids as they're out in the mission field. Everybody say praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll take a text tonight in verses 9 and 10. And this is where we were heading Sunday night, and the Lord just began to move all over the house. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, eye can't see this, and ear can't hear this. And it won't enter into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. And I can hear Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but now we see through a glass darkly. And I want you to know that even what God has revealed to us, we see it through colored smoky glass. And we don't really understand all of the import of what God has for us. But it's been revealed to us by his Spirit. Tonight, we're walking in things that are spiritual. We're experiencing things that are spiritual. Right now, you've just witnessed a man receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. But it's like the wind. You can hear the sound of it. It's hard to comprehend in the natural. But something from heaven from eons ago just rained down in this place and targeted a man's life, and he'll never be the same again. Now, what's about to happen right here? I can't see it. You say, well, I can watch this. I can see this man being baptized. Oh, but you don't, friend, you don't know the half of what's about to happen. His record is in heaven right now. Every sin he's ever committed is right there in the presence of God. But the blood of Calvary is about to come down on a man and a woman's life, and their record is going to be expunged, and everything they've ever done and everything they've ever been that's not like God is about to be washed away. Are you glad that you went down in the water in Jesus' name? Well, praise God. But you can't see that with your natural eye. You won't see the blood come down on him. You didn't see the fire come down on him when he got the Holy Ghost, but he got the Holy Ghost and he got the fire. But everything he's ever done is going to be washed away and covered by the blood tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. We may be having a Bible study. I'm not quite sure. This brother works with Brother Ronnie and Brother Mike. And this is what happens when you witness and you live it on the job. People see it, people want it, and people come and get it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Praise God. You can be seated. Now, in chapter 1, we were working on the theme of Paul to the church at Corinth. And this Corinthian church is totally pagan. They're coming out of a Hellenistic culture. And they're coming out of a culture that's full of debauchery. And even their church experience is not like somebody coming in from the Bible Belt. They're coming in from the cults of Aphrodite and the cults of the Greek goddesses and temple prostitution and parades to all sorts of pagan deities. And so they've got quite a way to grow as they're coming in. Let's give God praise here. Go ahead.
Take me to the water.
Go ahead and pray, church. God can fill her with the Holy Ghost right here.
Take me to the water.
Hey, hey, hey. She's talking in tongues.
Baptized.
She's talking in tongues. Hey.
Oh, take me to the water.
Mighty God, mighty God,
oh, yeah.
Mighty God.
Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Oh, yeah. To be. My sins away. I'm gonna wash my sins away. Yeah, I'm gonna wash my sins away. Oh, down in Jesus' name. Somebody say, take me to the water. To the water. Yeah, take me to the water. Yeah, oh, to be baptized. Hallelujah. Take me to the water.
Take me to the water.
Take me to the water. To the world. Jesus' name. I'm going down in Jesus' name. I'm going down in Jesus' name. Oh, to be baptized. Yeah. So take me to the water. To the water, oh yeah, oh to be baptized, hallelujah, oh yeah, take me to the water, take me to the water, take me to the water, yeah, oh to be baptized. Somebody say, take me to the water. Woo! Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Oh, to be baptized. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Hallelujah. Take me to the water.
Ah, how great. What a great God, and how worthy of all the praise. Praise God. So the promise or the text that we're reading here tonight is consistent with a trend in prophecy that you receive from God right now in a real way, but that the prophecy is not consummated for a long time to come. Peter used Joel 2:28 on the day of Pentecost. But Joel 2:28 is about the end of the world and the end of the dispensation and the coming of the Lord. But he said, no, he said that God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh right there beginning at Pentecost. And so it was real and it was fulfilled and measured there. But the real payoff comes at the end of the dispensation. And what we're reading here about the revealed things of God, those things that God has prepared for them that love him, we're receiving that right now. You're walking, if you're walking with some peace in your life you didn't have before, say amen. If you're walking with the joy of God in your life, say amen. Now, I want you to know you're walking in an imperfect world with that. You're still walking in an existential situation, and you're still walking in a natural body that's full of all kinds of fallen nature, and yet we still have peace and joy and righteousness in the kingdom of God, but it's not anything like it's going to be at the payday, at the payoff, at the end of the line. So these prophecies are now, but they are yet to come also. And that's the trend of a lot of prophecies. Now, thus far in chapter 1, the theme has been no flesh shall glory in his presence. And we're going to continue with the discussion of the relationship between the flesh and the Spirit of God, the moving of God, the kingdom, and the plan of God tonight. And let's just take a moment and read through some scriptures. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. We won't be able to finish this chapter, but we'll just get started here. Verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 2. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You ever get the feeling that as you're walking in the world, on the job, with your family, with those that are outside the church, that you're walking in a mystery, in wisdom that is hidden from everybody around you? They don't understand what you're doing. They can't relate to the attitudes that you have. They know there's something different about you. But we're walking in what Paul calls the hidden wisdom of God. and the princes of the world don't know about it. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known what it was going to cost them, if they had known the victory that would be unleashed, if they would have known what his plan was, they'd have never nailed him to that cross. But God kept his wisdom hidden. And we've already read verse 9 and 10. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Which is simply a commentary on the fact that you are essentially a spiritual being. The real things of life are spiritual. The most important things of life are spiritual. And you can have the natural all together as far as the standards and the criteria of the world. But if you don't have it together in spirit, you're never going to have what God has planned for you. And it can be a frustrating experience to get to a place of maturity in your life and have everything in the natural nailed down, have everything scratched off your list, and you still have a restless soul. You still don't have peace in your life. I want you to understand that little is much when God is in it. Even if you're walking in a place where you're not exactly fulfilling all of your natural dreams, you can still walk in joy and peace if you've got it right in the Holy Ghost. Verse 11, in the middle of the verse, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So we can't know God other than by his Spirit as he communicates to us through his word and direct connection through his Spirit. Now verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We used to walk under the influence of the spirit of the world, but now we walk under the influence of the Spirit of God. And the only, if you're miserable trying to live for God, it's because you are not fully under the influence of the Spirit of God, but yet you are still under the influence of the culture, the Egyptian way outside the culture of God. But you've got to come all the way into this to get the sweet stuff. You've got to come all the way into the influence of the Spirit of God to get what God has planned for you. Praise God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. They don't even understand. They don't understand a worship. They don't understand a holiness. They don't understand the commitment. They don't understand why you're in the house of God all the time. They don't understand your devotion to the Word of God. They don't, and they can't understand because those things are communicated by the Spirit. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's why you've got to be born again. The natural man, you can come sit a natural man down in the house of God. It won't do him a bit of good. He's bulletproof. You got to be born again to get on the inside of hearing from God, living for God, receiving from God. Somebody say praise God. And is there an amen in the house? Are you glad that you're not walking in that natural man anymore? But you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. You're not hooked up. You don't have the software. You can't receive. You can't, you're not online. You can't connect with God until you're born again. That's the initial condition of coming to God. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Praise God. And so this is powerfully instructive for us. Can't do any way of justice to it tonight in its entirety. But let's go back to verse 7 and 8. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil doesn't understand the plan of God. The devil doesn't understand what God is doing or why he's doing it. And even though it's in the Word of God and we preach about it, he is a complete reprobate and cannot receive nor understand what God is doing. For if the princes of this world had known, verse 8, if they had known it, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, if they had known, they would have known what was about to happen. When they broke that earthen vessel, the scripture says we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. When they broke that earthen vessel, what was on the inside began to flow out. After perfect sacrifice began to make its way into every nook and cranny of this world. When they tore his natural veil, when he died on that cross and they tore the veil of his flesh, the veil in the temple correspondingly tore from top to bottom. And the glory of God and the Shekinah of God and the promise of God and everything that was in there, God's provision, God's authority, God's word, it all flowed out. And what was fulfilled was the cry of the angels as they stand in the presence of God and call back to one another, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, the earth, the whole world is filled with his glory." That never was true until that veil in the temple was torn. But when the veil was torn from top to bottom, now the Holy Ghost is available anywhere on the face of the earth. If the princes of this world had known that, they would have said, "No, don't touch him." No, they would have put an armed guard of demons around him. They would have moved Rome and Greece and every other hindering thing out of the way. They wouldn't have let anybody touch that man, Christ Jesus, because when he was broken, the goodness of God began to run like a river from one end of the earth to the other. When the veil was torn, the presence of God, the Shekinah of God, can now be received anywhere. I felt his power. We had a couple from El Salvador here on Sunday morning, and I told the guy, "I've been to San Miguel in your country, and in that place I saw a baby that had been raised from the dead." And we were packed into a little building, and it was shoulder to shoulder, and it was raining outside, and people were standing in the rain to hear the word of God. But I saw men and women with the glory of God on their face. There wasn't a $10 bill between all of them put together. And they didn't have the natural blessings in their life. That building didn't have a formal bathroom. It didn't have running water. They didn't have all of the things you would associate with a good life. But I'm telling you, the glory of God came down in that place. And it was because the devil by his own plan, and the Romans by their own hand, and the Sanhedrin by their own design, they took him and drove nails into his hands and feet and plunged a spear into his side. But they didn't know what it was going to cost them, and they didn't know what would be unleashed, and they had no idea what God was going to do with that broken body. Let's give God a little bit of praise here. Had the princes of the earth known, they'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. He was the vessel. He was the veil. When Mary came in and broke that alabaster box and covered him with that precious ointment, she not only was preparing him for his burial, as he said, and she not only was teaching a precious spiritual truth about you and about me, as we come to him, we've got to break our alabaster box. But she was also demonstrating for everybody in that room, this is what happens when his body is broken. I'm about to show you what's gonna happen in this world when that precious vessel is broken on the cross. When she broke that alabaster box, the fragrance filled the whole room. Everybody was touched by it. It was powerful. It was costly. It was inside something that was not so nearly costly as what was on the inside. And so the exterior had to be broken. And it's not just preaching about Jesus, but it's preaching about me and about you. Because if I want the good stuff to come out, I've got to find a way to get this exterior broken. But the devil didn't know about Jesus, and he didn't know what was going to come out of him, or he'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. When that body was broken there on the whipping post, healing began to flow out. And tonight we've got people that have received healing in their body, because by his stripes we are healed. When that spear plunged into his side, love and mercy and grace began to flow out. And now sinners, no matter how dark your heart, can find their way to God and redemption and a newness of life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the message is about us too. The message is about us. Because the devil comes to you and he tries you and he tests you and he hurts you. And he's got power to lay his hand on you. And God gives him that power from time to time. But if he knew what comes out of you. James said, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For after he is tried, he's going to have a crown. But he says, rejoice. Have joy when temptation, when you're tried by temptations. Because the trying of your faith works patience. And when patience is complete, when it has its perfect work. And so something happens in me when I'm tried by the devil. Something happens in me when I walk into a bad day. Something happens to me when my finances get the legs cut out from under them. Say, God, why? Well, God wouldn't let that happen to me. That's not the God I serve. Well, you're not serving the same God that Job served. Because Job had it all. He had everything. And then he woke up one morning and he was lying under the rubble of his whole life that had come collapsing down on his head. And he shook around a little bit and he got his arm out one side and got a little bit of fresh air. And as soon as his arm got up, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The rain falls on. We walk through the same thing the world walks through. We're subject to the same things, but we don't walk like they walk. And we don't have the same result as they have. Because when we get ourselves squeezed, and when we get our vessel broken, and when we get our vessel torn, and our veil torn, what's inside of you, the Bible says, is greater than what's out in the world. The Word of God said, greater is he that is in you, but it won't do anybody any good if it stays in you. I want you to know the trouble you're having, the valley you're going through. If he only knew what I was gonna be after the storm, if he only knew what I was gonna be after the storm. I heard a man sing that. He sang, if you only knew what I was gonna be after the storm. And I stop it right there because I want you to hear it like that. I want you to hear it. What I was gonna be after the storm. You can't get to where God wants to take you without the storm. You can't get the sweetness out of your life without the breaking. You can't receive what God has for you without walking through the valley. I love the mountain just like you love the mountain, but it's down in the valley where the waters are flowing and the fields are fertile and something good is going to break forth. Quit acting like some strange thing has come upon you that nobody else has ever tasted of. When we walk in the valley, we don't walk alone. He's the rose. He's the lily. He's my friend in the midst of the valley. My friend, you've got to understand God's doing a work in your life. He didn't set you up to be a house plant. He didn't set you up to be some pristine little paper mache doll. He built you for warfare. He built you for valleys. He built you to go into places where hungry hearts are and where lives are in need of a witness and the power of God. My God, somebody that's glad for valleys, give God some praise right now. Somebody that's glad for the fight, give him some praise right now. Somebody that's ready to fight again, give him some praise right now. I've got trouble in my life. Well, that's good. Praise God for it. It's going to make you strong. I've got an enemy. Well, give God praise. He's going to bring forth something awesome in your life. It's so easy for you to talk about my trouble. I can't ignore the Word of God. But I will tell you this. If the princes of this world knew what comes out of you when you come out of trouble, if they knew what comes out of you when you rise up out of sickness, if they knew what comes out of you, we're starting to get a little motion on that job over there. My goodness. Praise God. We got a brother sitting here tonight full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. I think everything's connected. I think everything is connected. Brother Ronnie just had to have a little run-in with cancer. And then something good broke loose on the job. Praise God. I think everything's connected. I really, really do. Praise God. I believe in... You know what prayer does? Prayer takes the flesh down to its knee. Prayer takes the flesh down and says, no flesh is going to glory in his presence. Break this bottle. Break this vessel. Tear this veil. Let the good stuff out. But you don't pray because you like having all this intact. And there's a penchant in the flesh to avoid things that break the flesh. And prayer is the only way to subject the flesh to the kingdom of God. And without prayer in your life, you're not going to live for God. And without prayer in your life, you won't see the results of God. And without prayer in your life, you probably won't ever be saved. And without prayer in your life, nobody's going to be touched by what God has planted on the inside of you. Because prayer has the capacity to break that external and open up the power of God in your home and in your family and in your life. My God, would somebody pray? Would somebody find a place to break that flesh? I'm struggling with things in my life. How's your prayer life? First thing I want to know is, how's your prayer life? It ought to be a dominant experience in your life. Consecration, holiness, all of this stuff that the flesh resists and presses against has the capacity for our own proactive pursuit of the kingdom of God breaking forth in our lives. I don't have to wait. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I believe. I believe if you break your flesh yourself well enough and often enough, you won't have to wrestle with the devil. You hear me? I believe if you do it well enough and long enough, that you don't have to walk in some places that God might take you, because you won't bow your knee and you won't walk in holiness and you won't love consecration and you won't push a plate away and you won't. God said, I'll lead you by the eye or by the bit. And he will. He will. Every mechanical thing in your life will break down. Pink slips will rain like confetti down on your life. You'll have a hard time scraping a dollar and another one together. God can take you to that place. And you're crying to the preacher and you're crying to God and you're wondering. And God is just, and this stuff, the natural man doesn't get this. And you can't understand this. I hadn't seen it. It hadn't come in your ear. But if you listen to that Holy Ghost that's down in you, he's just saying, I'm just trying to break you. I got something precious inside you. I need it to flow out. It's not about you. It's about your neighbors. It's about your city. It's about those on your job. It's about your children. It's about the people you can touch. Calvary wasn't about him. Calvary was about us. And he said, if you want to be my disciple, take up what? It's a place we die, Brother Jamie. It's a place where we break. And I do believe if I break myself, God doesn't have to send a messenger to buffet me, to break me. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. To let the sweet stuff flow. Praise God. But if you're under the heel of something right now, if you're fighting something right now, I want you to know the prince of this world doesn't understand what's about to happen, because he's about to break something loose in your life, and it's going to shock the foundations of hell. I can't go any further tonight, just out of respect for your relationship with your alarm clock, but let's stand together. Praise God. Somebody say, if you only knew what I was gonna be after the storm. If you only knew what I was gonna be after the storm. Now you can tell the devil that tonight. You're fooling with me right now, but you have no idea what's about to break loose in my home and in my life and in my family. I want somebody that's under the power of a dilemma right now and problem and crushing pressure. I want you to do like Job and get your hand outside the rubble, and I want you to begin to praise God with all of your heart tonight. Come on, just begin to somebody with trouble, begin to praise him. Somebody with sickness, begin to praise him. Hallelujah. If you're up against something you don't see a way of escape, begin to praise him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody that needs God to move in your life right now. You want to release something, begin to praise him right now. Your worship releases all the sweet stuff. When you magnify God, it opens up a valve and it pours forth the power of God. Ah, hallelujah. 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 Come on, Joseph in the pit. Joseph is in the pit, been betrayed by his brothers. And somebody's standing on the outside, some devil is standing on the outside saying, yeah, let's see what becomes of his dreams right now. If you only knew what I was gonna be, you wouldn't have put me in this pit. Slavery at Potiphar's house. If you only knew, I'm on my way. You're helping me on my way. Every bit of trouble you have in your life right now is helping you on your way. You got to get up on top of the trouble, and you got to begin to magnify God in the middle of it. Come on. You got to get up in the middle of your trouble and give God glory. Turn to somebody and say, if he only knew what I was going to be, he wouldn't be fooling with me. He wouldn't have come to me. He wouldn't put me in a pit. He wouldn't have me in prison. But I'm about to break free. I'm about to sit in a place of God's authority in my life. Ah, hallelujah. My God, I need some worshipers right now. I need somebody to just lose your mind for a minute here and worship God. Yeah, sing that. They don't know it. What I was gonna be after the storm, you would have even bothered me. If you only knew what I was gonna be. Praise God. I want somebody that wants to let the glory of God flow out of your life. I want you to come down to this altar right now. Somebody that you're going to come and you're going to say, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to embrace consecration. I'm going to walk in holiness. I'm going to do what it takes to release the glory of God in my life. Come on down to this altar. I want you to make a pledge here before God tonight and just tell God what you're about. My God, my God, my God. Ah, hallelujah. Come on. In every trial, I'm going to praise you. In every valley, I'm going to glorify you. In every struggle, I'm going to open up my life and be used of God. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody's in trouble right now. You need to stand on top of that trouble. Be a worshiper and a magnifier of God. Praise God. Lay your hand on somebody now. Pray. Let the Holy Ghost flow. If you got the Holy Ghost, pray in that heavenly language. Let that Holy Ghost flow through your vessel. Coming out of the trial. Gonna be filled with the glory of God. Coming out of the trouble. Gonna be filled with the glory of God. Coming out of the valley in the power of God.
Bothered me. Woo! And I got more. And I'm a little bit. And I got more. And I got. And I got the. And we're still on everything you took from me. Right here, right now. Everything that it took from me, I want it. My daughter in a piece for me. Come on.